Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. The prophet Elijah was depressed. Just right after Elijah's stunning victory over the prophets of Baal, when Elijah proved that only God is God, there is only one true God, when Elijah showed the entire nation of Israel that they were worshiping false gods that could not hear them. Really, he had a big part in trying to get Israel back on track. But just right after this, Elijah was depressed. He was on the run for his life. The evil King Ahab and Queen Jezebel wanted to track him down, especially Jezebel. Jezebel actually had a vendetta against Elijah. She put out a hit on Elijah. Notice here, 1 Kings 19, verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So Elijah had told the people to put all these hundreds of false prophets to death. Jezebel was furious because she was a very loyal pagan worshiper, a worshiper of Baal. She didn't really like having all of her priests and false prophets killed. So Jezebel said, "If I don't find you in one day, may I die just like all of my favorite priests." So Elijah had to run for his life into the wilderness where he wanted to die. He asked God to let him die. And yet instead, God sent an angel to take care of Elijah. Elijah had shade. He was given food and drink by the angel. And then Elijah was strengthened so that he could fast for 40 days. That's in 1 Kings 19 and verse 8. Now, at this point, God had a valuable lesson to teach Elijah. Elijah was at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, back where Israel had received the Ten Commandments. And he had a big lesson to learn. Notice here, 1 Kings 19, starting in verse 11. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Eternal. And behold, the Eternal passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Eternal. But the Eternal was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Eternal was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Eternal was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." God made a magnificent display of his power. Elijah witnessed the earthquake and the wind and the fire, all a testament to the power of God. But God was not speaking through those spectacular weather miracles. God was speaking through the still, small voice. That's where God really was. Even in the midst of these miracles, God was in the still, small voice. This is what Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury writes on page 223 of the Former Prophets, which you can order or read for free at thetrumpet.com. God was not in the strong wind, earthquake, or fire. However, he was in the still, small voice. That was how God revealed himself in this instance. Mr. Fleury continues by explaining how it was actually ridiculous for the prophet Elijah to be afraid of Queen Jezebel. There was nothing Jezebel could do to Elijah if God was protecting Elijah. And even if God did allow Elijah to die, well, that would have just been part of God's plan. And Elijah would have a chance to live again anyway. Jezebel could never stop that. Mr. Fleury writes, there is no comparison between her and the great God. Mr. Fleury also writes, what an important lesson for God's people today to remember. We have nothing to fear. Sometimes we fail to remember who our God is. Mr. Fleury admonishes us to go back to Mount Sinai. Go back to the beginning. Go back to where God gave us the law. That's really the solution to all of our problems. The law. James 1 compares the law to a mirror. When we look in the mirror and we see dirt on our face, then we know to wipe that dirt away. And it's the same with the law. The law reveals to us, just like a mirror, where the sin is. And then we can wipe it away. We can get our lives back on track by returning to the law. We can vanquish fear by returning to the law. And it's not just a matter of the law at Mount Sinai. Remember how God delivered the law, shaking the mountain, fire and smoke, and thunderous sound. The Israelites were terrified. But that just reveals the God of miracles and power behind the law that we keep. Notice here on page 224 of the Former Prophets, Mr. Fleury writes, there has been a change. When you get to the Elijah work, it's not done like it was in Moses' day. God has a still, small voice, and it comes through a man. God gives that revelation through a man. Today, God is talking to people who have the Spirit of God. Mr. Fleury continues, God does not often manifest himself in mind-shattering physical events. Usually he comes in a still, small voice. But it is still the same omnipotent God. You must learn to recognize God in that still, small voice, like in what you are reading right now. Mr. Fleury says, as you read the Former Prophets, you should be hearing God's still small voice. This book in your hands is God's still small voice. And that's the case with all of the literature in the Philadelphia Church of God. That is how God is speaking today. Through Mr. Fleury, who has written dozens upon dozens of books and booklets filled with new revelation. That's how we understand the Bible, through that revelation, through God opening our minds. God speaks in a still small voice. Now, there will still be miracles. We still will experience some staggering miracles of healing and blessings and protection in this life as we obey God. But the point is, we don't always have the most obvious signs to know which way to go. You know, God's not going to turn the sky purple in the middle of the day just to tell us, hey, remember to obey me. No, he's going to speak in a still small voice. And he wants to see, do we value this Bible and this truth that he's giving to us? Are we going to hear that voice in the midst of this noisy, chaotic, distracting world? Are we going to make the time for Bible study so we hear God's voice? Miracles will still happen in our lives as we obey God. But at the same time, we shouldn't need to see the sky turn purple or whatever it is to obey God. We should be able to hear the still small voice and obey. Mr. Fleury writes, pages 224 and 225 of The Former Prophets, we should be able to see the spiritual splendor, the fire and thunder and lightning, the spectacle of God speaking to his church today. We should feel like we're back there on Mount Sinai, receiving God's law in the midst of that fire and smoke and thunder and earthquake. When we read this revelation from God at the Trumpet Literature Library, we should be astounded too, just like the Israelites were. And we should know this still small voice is from God. We have a really interesting article here from the Royal Vision, May, June, 2007, titled How to Use the Holy Spirit. And there's a point in here that says we need to learn to heed the still small voice. The still small voice of God's Holy Spirit. Those of us who have believed God, believe that Christ is our Savior, and that his message is the message of the coming kingdom of God. Those of us who have also obeyed God, repented of our past life in sin, and committed to living God's way, and we've been baptized in the PCG, and we've had the ministry lay hands on us to pray for us to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, now we have this gift, this power of God. But again, the Holy Spirit doesn't manifest itself in earth-shaking miracles every day. It's a still small voice. Mr. Joel Hilliker writes in this article, How to Use the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit is able to interact with our human spirit. And by that means, our Father speaks to us. He's not forcing us to do anything. Even when he commands something, he still gives us the choice whether or not to obey, but with his spirit influencing our human spirit, he can testify to us. We have to ask ourselves, are we listening? When God speaks through the Bible, through the church literature, are we listening? When God speaks by the power of his Holy Spirit influencing our minds, are we listening? Sometimes you might have a thought that enters your mind. I should really reach out to this person, or I should pay a compliment to this person, or I should really make that change in my life. Are we listening to that still small voice, that voice that aligns with God's inspired word, the Holy Bible? Now, if that voice contradicts the Bible in any way, it's not coming from God. We have to know whether it's coming from God. But if it is coming from God, we better be listening and taking action. God has even used the Holy Spirit to stir up worldly leaders like King Cyrus of Persia. You can see that in Ezra 1, verses 1 and 2. God inspired King Cyrus to build a temple in Jerusalem, to allow some Jews to leave Persia and build a temple in Jerusalem. In this end time, God has inspired Herbert W. Armstrong, our predecessor, along with Mr. Gerald Fleury, to build a house for God. Mr. Armstrong built Ambassador Auditorium in Pasadena, California. Mr. Fleury built Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma. But these are thoughts that God put into the minds of his leaders. Cyrus was responsible for acting on that thought. So was Mr. Armstrong. So was Mr. Fleury. This is really a fascinating subject, this idea that God could shake us literally with all kinds of miracles. But really, where would the faith come in if it was that easy all the time? Oh, well, that's where God is, because there's a mountain on fire off in the distance. We wouldn't need any faith. We wouldn't really need to believe God. It would be overwhelmingly obvious where God is, because you could see a mountain on fire. God is speaking through a still small voice, and he wants to see if we're listening. Can we prove where God is working today? Can we make decisions in our lives based on God putting a thought in our mind through the Holy Spirit? Now, there is another voice that we might be hearing sometimes that could also be good for us. Mr. Hilliker writes about our conscience. Sometimes it might just be our conscience telling us to do a certain thing or to avoid another thing. If our conscience is guided by the Bible, if we know right and wrong based on the Bible, then our conscience can help us too. Mr. Hilliker writes, we can liken our conscience to a tutor intended to help us learn to walk in the Spirit. God is able to speak to us through his Spirit in much the way our conscience does. And in one sense, God's Spirit is very much like your conscience. It doesn't force you, impel you, command you, or control you. It leads, influences, suggests. But again, obviously it has to be based on God's law. Elijah heard the still, small voice at Mount Sinai. And what an uplift that must have been to him to realize God was right there with him. God was working with Elijah, influencing Elijah, speaking to Elijah, if only Elijah would listen. So why did Elijah have to be depressed or fearful? Today, God is with his people. We have no reason to be sad or to be stressed or to doubt what we know is right. Just listen to that still small voice. Be diligent in a Bible study. Continue to prove where God is working today and get grounded in the truth. Understand the old and the new revelation. I mean, it's all right there at thetrumpet.com in the literature library. Study those titles. Prove them against your Bible. Hear the still small voice. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.